At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
A warm up of Evo! Welcome to Lumpy Las Vegas for Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Eeps Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. We're actually not in Lumpy Las Vegas today, as I'm actually out here in Los Angeles, California, more specifically Anaheim. I'm going to be taking in an Angels game on Friday for their home opener, enjoying a little bit of rest and relaxation, but this podcast ventures on regardless, as we've got a great podcast for you guys. Something that I like to do every year is just take a look at some of the end-of-year trends with regards to college basketball. I like to do this a few days after the NCAA tournament, so we'll do that here in segment number one, try to see if there's anything that we could gather for it, if some of these were just big-time outliers, what have you. And then in the final segment, we did see some movement in college basketball. We saw a hiring over at Utah Valley with regards to their vacant coaching position as well, so we're going to be going through that. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @JNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, that's via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really did not get in a lot of Twitter questions today, but I always find it interesting to take a look at some of these end-of-year trends. And the way that a conference overachieved slash underachieved this year, I do think that against the spread record out of conference is a very good indicator of this, because we always try to take a look at some of these runs in the NCAA tournament and we quantify it in like, oh, well, the San Diego State Aztecs, they were able to make the national title game. Maybe we should have given the Mountain West a little bit more respect. And then you realize, oh, everyone other than San Diego State stunk. Same thing goes for the ACC. Everyone up in arms that we were being so mean to the ACC because Miami makes a run. But I do think that it is very interesting to take a look at how a lot of these teams did perform out of conference. Like, you take a look at the ACC, you had seven different teams having against the spread record out of conference that was 33% or worse. And Clemson, Boston College, Louisville, Notre Dame, Florida State, and Virginia, along with North Carolina. Now, Pittsburgh, 9-4-1 against the spread. No expectations were there for them. They were able to do a nice job in Miami. Even with their nice NCAA tournament run, they were just 8-7 against the spread out of conference. And all those games that they played in the NCAA tournament, they weren't against ACC teams. So I take a look at something like that, and I think, yeah, maybe, you know what? That criticism, it was justified with that conference. Now, we saw one team be a complete juggernaut out of conference, UConn. 16-0-1 against the spread. That is, in my opinion, I've never seen a team go 16-0-1 against the spread out of conference. I don't think we are ever going to see that once again, but you really did have the big teams do solid out of conference. Like Xavier was really the lone team that was below 500 against the spread out of conference. They had 6-7-1. Marquette went 7-5-1 against the spread out of conference. Creighton went 9-6 against the spread out of conference. Butler went 7-3-1 against the spread out of conference. And taking a look at conference marks is always a good way to see what teams sort of ascended slash declined throughout the season as well. Like, your best team in conference against the spread was Hofstra at 16-4 against the spread. They, many people might remember, actually won the CAA regular season over Charleston, the team that got a lot more love. But I always do think that this is interesting to be able to gauge, to be able to take a look at it. There are certain teams that they're able to get their teams to be able to peak towards back half of the season, other teams that they just don't necessarily get the job done. And what I think is also interesting to take a look at is which of these conferences were really relying upon just home court advantage, because I think that this was a big downfall for the Big Ten. And Guess what? When you take a look at the against the spread numbers in the Big Ten, you had four different teams have a below 500 mark against the spread at home. Minnesota was 6-10-1 against the spread. We all know that they were terrible. Ohio State was 7-9 against the spread. Wisconsin was 6-9-2. And Purdue was 6-9-1 against the spread at home. And the big reason why Purdue was below 500 against the spread at home, just their numbers were so big. But Penn State, Illinois, Michigan State, Nebraska, Michigan, Rutgers, Iowa, Indiana, Maryland, all above 500 against the spread, all making you money. And then when it came to road against the spread record, guess what? Things weren't necessarily so great. Northwestern did go 8-3 against the spread away from home. Illinois went 6-4 against the spread away from home. Everyone else was either one game above 500 or you had a bunch of teams that were below 500, like Purdue. Covered two true road games this year. Same for Ohio State. Nebraska, 3-10 against the spread. Big time characteristics of these conferences. And I don't think that against the spread record is necessarily an end all be all in terms of the way that a team was able to overachieve, underachieve, what have you, because you are always going to have some big time outliers that do come out. But I do think that these are very good indicators of this. Like if you take a look at the best against the spread records in all of college basketball, a lot of them are teams that they made a deep run in March. Utah Valley, I recognize that wasn't in the NCAA tournament, but they made the Final Four of the NIT. They were your best against the spread record team, home, road, what have you, at 25-9 against the spread. The champions in UConn, they went 27-11-1 against the spread. That was number two. Florida Atlantic was number four, 25-11-1 against the spread. Eastern Kentucky, they made the final of the CBI, 23-10-1 against the spread. You have to go all the way down to Cal State Fullerton to find a team that did not partake in a postseason tournament at 29-2 against the spread, and they made the Big West final. So they proved that they were absolutely no joke at all. And then you take a look at a lot of the teams that they just didn't live up to expectations. Tulsa was just a big outlier, and you're just every single year going to get like one or two of these teams that are hideous against the spread. Tulsa, 24-2 against the spread. Like Pacific last year also had just four covers against the spread. They actually had fewer against the spread losses, but I mean, that was just absolutely hideous. And then what you always notice as well is that teams that they come in sort of in the middle with regards to what we expect from them this year, typically they're the biggest teams to be able to flop. Like North Carolina, no doubt about it. It was a rough year for them. 11-20-2 against the spread. But when you get a team like a Georgia that they won a few games early on, those are some of the most dangerous teams to be really backing, because these are the teams that can really nip you in the butt. Georgia, 11-21 against the spread. LSU, 10-22 with one push against the spread. Loyola Chicago, we expected an okay year from them. 9-22 against the spread. Now, sometimes you just get straight fades. Like UW Green Bay, 9-23 against the spread. You knew that they were bad, and bookmakers couldn't quantify how bad they were. Columbia, 10-16-1 against the spread. You knew that they were bad. Bookmakers, they just couldn't quantify the suckiness of them. Monmouth, another one of those teams at 12-21 against the spread. But I do think that that's interesting to take a look at. And there are just some of those teams that the suckitude is just really hard to take into account. And the dominance is as well. Like I was mentioning it with UConn. And what else I do find to be very intriguing is sometimes we find conferences that really take on an identity, and that leads you to being able to cash a lot of tickets on them with regards to totals. Like, I still think that the Southland is still trying to model themselves after Stephen F. Austin, who was able to just completely dominate that conference for a very long time. Because you take a look at the Southland and what we got this last year out of those teams, I believe that there are 8 in total, and all but two of them had north of 54% of their games go over the total. As a matter of fact, Southeast Louisiana, New Orleans, Houston Christian, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, Texas A&M Commerce, all five of those teams had north of 59% of their games go over the total. The American, they were trying to zag while you saw Houston just being a steady Eddie team. You notice in conference that things just really cranked up. You had just two teams play below 51.5% of their games to the over. And you take a look at what happened in conference. Everyone was trying to find a way to be able to bust through against Houston, and it led to a bunch of overs. Like Wichita State played 17 out of their 20 games against the American over the total. SMU, 15 overs, 4 unders in conference. Tulane, 14 overs, 5 unders. A push in conference, 13 overs for Central Florida, 5 unders within the conference. Tulsa, 12 overs, 7 unders. So you're able to go down the list, and I always do think that these are very intriguing things to take a look at. Now, you're going to be able to get more of these throughout the offseason because I'm going to be doing sort of the betting trends on every single conference at the end of the season. But I do think that this is always something that is fascinating to take a look at. And if you're going a little bit more to the against the spread numbers, I was mentioning a little bit as well, what I noticed with these, with the teams that were really able to build themselves up this year, they were teams that they played against a wide variety of different styles. A lot of these teams were in conferences where there was a lot of chameleon action, like I was mentioning with Florida Atlantic and Conference USA. They would one night be going up against North Texas, who is literally the slowest team in all of college basketball. The next night, they'd be going up against UAB, one of the most up-tempo teams in all of college basketball. And I think that that served them very well. You take a look at a team like UW-Green Bay, who was out there in the Rising League. The Rising League has a lot of teams that they play a bunch of offense. They don't necessarily play a lot of defense. So that was a little bit more to their detriment. And obviously, you want to be taking a little bit more of a look at non-conference when it comes to being able to gauge that. But I always do find that to be very fascinating. And then when it comes to characteristics of some of these teams that went under, what we noticed was that the NEC, the new-look NEC, because Bryant was no longer in the fold, just how much one team can skew the numbers in a conference. Because when it comes to conference realignment, it certainly is going to be taking hold this offseason. The Big 12 is going to be looking much different. But what a lot of people fail to realize is that we did have a lot of shakeups that happened when it came to sort of the smaller conferences, with like Bryant going over to the America East. That was a bit of a move, Loyola Chicago heading over to the Atlantic 10, and that did very much warp the numbers because you had 9 member schools in the NEC last season, and 7 of them played at least 50% of their games to the under, and you had a grand total of 6 of them have at least 57% of their games go under. You had Wagner, St. Francis of New York, Stonehill, all play north of 70% of their games to the under. Merrimack, not too far behind with 68.8% of their games to the under. And I always think that this was just such a big trend in college basketball because among your top 10 teams in terms of the under and all of college basketball, those 4 teams were right there at the top. As a matter of fact, they were 4 out of the top 6. So that was something that really did stand out to me. Now, you just have some teams that they've got a system of playing super duper up tempo. You've got some teams that they've got a system of playing super duper slow, like Iowa State. They were clearly looking to just get a bunch of turnovers this year. They played 2/3 of their games to the under, and sometimes you just couldn't quantify for a little bit of a coaching change. Like Duke this year was very good to the under, 22 under, 13 overs, and a push. Big reason why John Shire really slowed things down. Meanwhile, under Coach K, it was always a little bit more of an offense-oriented team, and being able to spot these teams with coaching changes, I think, is going to be very beneficial to these totals as well. So I want to give you guys just a little bit of thoughts with some of the teams that were very demonstrative against the spread on totals, what have you, some of the explanations for it, and some of the things to look out for, like I mentioned when I do my conference previews later on during the offseason, once we're able to find out what the heck is happening with the transfer portal. I'll be feeding you guys sort of the lay of the land with regards to all these conferences, the betting trends that we did see from it the previous year, and if I think that they're going to be continuing or not. So you want to be locked in on this podcast because I'm going to be trying to deliver that to make you guys money for this upcoming season. And like I said, if you have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, it could be involving this, could be involving something completely different, at GNN_D1 on Twitter, fire it in there, or leave an Apple Podcast review. But coming up next, we did see quite a bit of movement in college basketball on Thursday with regards to the transfer portal and a coaching hiring at Utah Valley. So I'm going to get you guys caught up on that next right here on Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now a part of the BC Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Back here in Las Vegas for with myself, Greg Eames Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that little bit of a wrap-up that I gave you guys in the first segment, taking a look at some of the trends, teams that were hot slash cold throughout the college basketball season this year, and just try to see where we went right, where we went wrong, and some of the teams that were hot and cold. I always think that that's a good exercise to do at the end of a college basketball season, so let me know if you want to hear more of that. Like I said, questions, comments, segment ideas, what have you for this podcast, you've got one of two ways to be able to those in, at @unit_81 on Twitter, fire in a question. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, or fire in an Apple Podcast review, rate this podcast 5 stars, and let me know what you want to hear. But let's take a look at everything that we did see in college basketball on Thursday. Ryan Emmer, he was over at Creighton this last year. He has decided that he is going to transfer, which very interesting to see what might happen here. Averaged 12 points, 4.8 assists, shot in the mid-30s from three-point range, and a lot of people thought if Creighton was able to maintain that same starting five from last year, which I think they could have maintained all five of those players, then they could have been legitimately a top-five team going into the season. They're still going to be rock solid if they still maintain the other four guys, including, most importantly, Ryan Kalkbrenner, but this is a big-time development, so I'm going to see what happens here, because I know that there are some ties to the West Coast with Ryan Nemhard and his brother Andrew and company, so that is very much a big-time ordeal. Jeremiah Davenport, he was playing at Cincinnati this last year, so we are on to Cincinnati, and he has decided that he is going to be hitting the transfer portal as well, and I think that this is very interesting to take a look at, because with Jeremiah Davenport, he 2 years ago was really able to put up some nice numbers, was averaging 13.5 points, 5.5 boards, he had a draft decision, and now he saw that fall off last year, 9 points per game. You could tell that with Landers Nolly in the fold, they just didn't need him as much. Shot shot just 33% from three-point range. Did still give the team right around 4.5 boards as a 6'7", a little bit of a combo player. So where he goes is of big-time fascination to me. DJ turned it up Davis. He last year was over at UC Irvine. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, as well as he had a nice year this last year. Became a starter, 15 points per game, shot 88% at the free throw line, 40% from three-point range for an UC Irvine team that was able to play some relatively solid defense. So very interested to see what his prospects are going to be. This guy was one of the top players out in the NEC, Josh Cohen. While he was playing for St. Francis' last year, a team that really did not do a great job on defense, but he was the conference's player of the year with 21.8 points, 8.3 boards, 2.5 assists at 6'10", not a guy that's going to go out there and launch threes or anything like that, but a great back-to-the-basket guy. Let's see if we'll give you a block per contest. He's going over to UMass. He's going to be playing for Frank Martin. In my opinion, a really good get for Frank Martin, and something that team desperately needed. They had no rebounding last year. Being able to bring in someone like a Josh Cohen, that is absolutely terrific for that program. Isaac Jack, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Comes over from the country of Canada. Part-time starter last year. Was able to put up some okay numbers. 5.5 points, 4 boards. Not someone that's going to go out there and shoot threes at 6'11", 250. A little bit more of a clogger in the paint. So I'm fascinated to see where he is going to be ending up, as I do think that there should be quite a few teams that are intrigued by him. Messiah Thompson, he was able to do a solid job this last year at Alabama A&M. Two seasons ago, he was actually playing at Campbell for the old Fighting Camels, and he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, and very intrigued to see where he goes, because he was able to do a nice job being able to dish out the ball this last year, 10.5 points, a little bit over 3 assists per contest, shot 41% from 3-point range. I do like his overall skill set, was able to show himself very well at Alabama A&M, a program that was able to play a little bit of defense 2 years ago, that did take a little bit of a fall off this last season, but he's out there in the transfer portal. This man, he has decided that he's going to be staying within the Big Ten. Jameson Battle, I guess if you can't beat him, join him in the case of Ohio State, because we remember Minnesota pulled off that road upset of Ohio State last year, and they've decided that they're going to be picking up Jameson Battle, who's dealing with injuries this last year. 2 years ago at Minnesota, he had 17.5 points, 6 boards, shot 36.5% from 3, fall off with his numbers this year. 12.5 points per contest, shot just 31% from 3 again. I think a lot of it was just injury-related, but he's decided that he is going to be going to Ohio State, so that's a good gift for our Buckeyes team. That I like what they did in the portal last year. Moves just did not work out. We'll see if things go a little bit better this year. L. Ellis, as I called him, the most lonely man in college basketball this last season, because Louisville just put no guards whatsoever around him. He was able to supply the team with 17.5 points, 4.4 assists, but 3.8 turnovers per game. As the top 5 mark in all of college basketball, shot 32% from 3, mainly because a bad shot for him was better than a good shot for someone else. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Cannot blame him one bit there. If you were in that program, I would probably enter into the transfer portal as well, because clearly Louisville did not do a good job of giving him any support whatsoever. Jamero Baker is in the transfer portal. He began his career at Kentucky, spent some time with Arizona, and at Fresno State, he was a little bit of a disappointment. I expected more than 12.5 points, 3 boards, 3 assists per contest, shot 32.5% from 3-point range, but what I think is very intriguing about Baker, a former top 100 recruit, he actually finished off the year really strong. He had that 43-point performance against Chicago State. Now, I recognize that it's Chicago State, but last 10 games of the year, shot 41% from the outside, 15.5 points, 4 boards, 3.7 assists per game, so he clearly got better as the season went along. So we shall see what happens there. Lucas Gidavikas, he was playing at Bethune-Cookman, gentleman that comes in from overseas. At 6'8", he's able to pop threes, but just could not find any minutes whatsoever. He is in the transfer portal, so we'll see where he goes. And now you've got both Boone brothers from Oklahoma State in the portal. His brother, Keenan Boone, he entered in a few days ago after he spent the last year at Pacific. And now Caleb Boone, who is an all-Big 12 performer with 10.5 points, right around 5 boards, a little bit over a block per contest, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. Would not be overly surprised if we see perhaps the Boone brothers reunite in a mutual play, something like that, but very interested to see what happens on that front. Ty Harper, he was playing at Eastern Washington this last year, just could not find any minutes after at Louisiana. He had 10 starts in his first 2 seasons on campus, and as a freshman at Louisiana, had about 5.5 points per game, shot 36% from 3. Things looked promising. promising for him, but just really could not take off. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Mohamedou Cisse has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal as well. He was playing over at St. Louis this last season and just really couldn't get out there on the floor. I was a bit surprised. I did like his overall upside. Just a case where he was not needed by St. Louis at 6'10", 210 pounds. He's got a relatively good frame, but just couldn't find a lot of minutes. So he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Utah State is going through a coaching change with Ryan Odom, deciding that he is going to be going to VCU. And as a result, Stephen Ashworth has decided that he is going to be entering into the portal as well. Had a really nice year this last year at Utah State, and is a big reason why the Utah State offense was one of the most efficient in all of college basketball. Shot 43.4% from three, 16 points on 88% free throw shooting, 4.5 assists to 1.7 turnovers per game. So he is at the portal. CJ Fulton with a little bit of a coaching change happening at Lafayette. They did promote from within, but a coaching change regardless. He has decided that he is going to be going portaling as well. Really nice all-around player. 10.5 points, 5 boards, 5 assists on a program that was one of the slowest in all of college basketball in terms of possessions per game. Shot 38.5%. from three-point range to steals per contest. Very much an under-the-radar guy just because his scoring numbers are not gaudy. Guy that can really be a winning player. So I want to see where he ends up. And then Robbie Barron, a former top 100 recruit who's a part of that Northwestern team that was able to bust through this last year. Shot about 34.5% from three, 7.5 points, 4.5 boards, and 6'9". He's able to be a very skillful guy. He is now in the transfer portal as well. So we did see quite a bit of movement in terms of the portal on that front. And then in terms of the coaching front, we did see another team promote from within. Todd Phillips, he was over at Utah Valley this last season. He is going to be taking over the job after Mark Madsen decided that he was going to be going to Cal. And by the way, very good on Cal for getting Mark Madsen. That program has not done a lot right in football or basketball in recent years, but that was very rock solid for them. For Phillips, was a big part of Utah Valley being able to do a solid job in recruiting, being able to get some nice players in the transfer portal. He's been with Utah Valley for a pair of years as he has bounced around a little bit. He actually used to play a little bit as well. So this is going to be a very good hire, in my opinion, for Utah Valley. They're going to try to maintain as much of what they had as humanly possible. And I know that this guy was actually at the junior college level a few seasons ago as well. So he is used to that grind. So you wish absolutely nothing but the best to Todd Phillips. And I do think that Utah Valley did a solid job of being able to handle that ordeal as I am doing this as well. We're seeing quite a bit of movement with Arizona State players as Devon Cambridge has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. No word on Desmond Cambridge, but Devon was able to average a little bit over 10 points, pair of assists per contest, and then Warren Washington, he has decided that he is going to be entering into the NBA draft this last year at Arizona State. 9 points, 7 boards. He was able to give the team right around a block and a half per contest. So, he's able to do a nice job as a true 7-footer, but he's going to be maintaining his eligibility. I think that he's going to be coming back to school. I would not be very surprised whatsoever about that, but he has decided that he is going to be putting his name in for the NBA draft. No shocker here. Jaime Jaquez has put in for the NBA draft. He would be utilizing his COVID fifth year if he were to decide to return. You just figured that he was going to be making this decision sooner rather than later. For Hawkes, a very good career over at UCLA, as I believe that he was an All-American, being able to supply the team this last year with a little bit over 15 points per contest, 8 boards, 2.5 assists, shot about 32% from three-point range, was never necessarily his forte, but a steal and a half per contest. Guy just does everything very well, so he has decided that he is going to be entering into the NBA draft. TJ Bamba, he is still waiting to see what he's going to be doing with regards to his transfer portal decision, but he is going to be making that decision apparently here in mid-April. So we've got a lot of hoopla going on in college basketball, and I'm going to be with you guys every single day rounding it up. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letter ZM, maybe does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Always appreciate you guys tuning in, and I'll be with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.